Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we are going to be recapping the 2020 Olympia. And we are so stoked because this is our Bikini Super Bowl. Over the weekend, I hosted a watch party, so I totally did the pay-per-view thing and had some of the glam girls over on Saturday. My kids actually watched the pre-judging with me, and we were, like, working out while we were watching it. It was hilarious. And then we did, like, a taco bar. It was, like, all healthy. We even had, like, food scale out, and I told all the guests, like, okay, we're going to have lean ground beef and chicken, and my husband made it all, so... it's definitely something I want to do again. I'd never done a watch party like that, so it was super fun. How about you? What was your, pay-per-view experience like?
Yes, I actually watched, I bought the pay-per-view and I watched after breakfast. So my boyfriend and his dad, well, actually my boyfriend was cooking breakfast and, same thing, making my very like particular bikini pancakes. So it was like really nice to have a hot breakfast. And then I actually ended up watching it with his dad, which was so funny to see like just an everyday person's perspective on the sport. It just reminds you how like crazy weird but so unique bodybuilding is. And I had a lot of fun. I was cracking up and laughing. And
yeah, what did he say?
Well, of course, he was like enamored by the beauty of these women, which was just very funny. But he would like fixate on funny things like calves, like, oh, she has a lot. She has too much calf muscle. And it was just very entertaining. And then like they would ask me questions about like, what are they judges looking at? And what about her? So it's like good practice for me just to kind of like analyze and look at the lineup and have like a critical eye and looking at, you know, at this top level, there's like crazy minute things to differentiate the competitors. But yeah, anything from like suit color to definitely calf muscles. And at one point he was like, her shoes are too big for her feet. So it was very mixed commentary, but it was quite entertaining.
That's funny. Yeah. It was was crazy because my kids have grown up. I mean, ever since they were little, they came to every single show, you know, for the last 10 years. So they know the sport in and out. Like my daughter, I mean, this is how much she knows it. Once I got a trophy and the girl had a figure suit, she's like, this is not a bikini trophy. She's like, this girl on this trophy has a figure suit. So it was crazy because she predicted when I showed her your picture the week that you won your pro card, she was like, oh, mom, she's going pro. And so it's funny because she watched the entire prejudging, all 40 of those routines. It took a long time for all those ladies to get through, but she watched and she was like, oh my gosh, Janet, she's like, she's amazing. She's like, I hope she wins. She has the best hair, mom. But she just really liked her a lot. That was her pick. And then she was all excited when she heard that she had won. So
your daughter knows what's up in the bikini world. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's quite funny because she always knows too, like where people are placed. Like when pre-judging goes on, she knows enough about the sport that she'll know like if I'm gonna be upset or disappointed.
Oh my gosh!
Before the finals even come, so it's kind of funny. But
perfect.
Anywho, so this Olympia obviously got changed very last minute. I was so impressed with how quickly they moved the Olympia from Vegas to Orlando. And this was the first year that it was under new ownership. And I thought they did a fabulous job. It was really well run. I like to see that they increased the purse, especially for bikini. Yeah. That's always good to see. I just think that for the circumstances and pushing the date back with everything, it was awesome that they made it happen. And overall the winners of every category, it was really a changing of the guards. The only ones that stayed the same were figure and classic physique. Those were the only like reigning champions.
There was a lot of like intense competition in different categories. People like coming back for titles, people trying to hold on to titles. And when I was listening to the press conference, they were saying that 6 weeks ago, like 6 weeks out from the show, it was just about to be canceled. Like they really had to pull some crazy strings, to get it in Orlando and all set up. And they did a great job with the stage too. Like I felt like it was presented really elegantly. And you know, this, like you said, it's our Olympia, so it needs to look top notch. And I think they did a great job.
Yeah, I was excited. Brandon Hendrickson, he was the Mr. Olympia in men's physique in 2018. And he reclaimed his title this year. I had seen him earlier this year in Atlanta. His girlfriend was at the Chicago Pro doing wellness. And he's just such a nice guy. He was a guest poser at one of the competitions that I promoted. And he's just such a great ambassador for the sport. So I was really excited to see him regain his title. That was really cool.
I was happy for him too. I liked him, and I like Chris Bumstead too. I really think he does a great job just having a really positive attitude and representing the sport too. So I was glad to see he retained his title.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get further into the bikini part of things, but I mean, Janet has been doing this longer than anyone, I believe. I think she got her pro card in 2013, and she is always the bridesmaid, never the bride, until you know, the year that she got the Miss International title. That was her first win at the Arnold. She's always, you know, runner-up and things like that. So, this was her time to shine, and I think it just makes it all the more sweet that she was able to persevere even through, like, you know, getting the news that your dad has lung cancer. And I mean, anyone that prepped through this pandemic, kudos to them, but for not giving up and finding out that kind of news, I just really think a lot of her.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing that I was hearing a lot in the press conference, because she did speak in the they interviewed her and Issa and Angelica, and not just those three women, but a lot of the competitors were all talking about how they had to get super creative to stay on point with their preps this year, because everybody was dealing with the pandemic and all the shifts and gyms closing and, you know, just figuring out your workout. So I don't know, it kind of made me feel a little bit like I wasn't alone in my like quest to continue my goals, you know, like even the top elite athletes were dealing with the same thing. So it really just goes to show like you can make anything happen. And yeah, a huge deal. Like I remember I was hearing Janet talk about her father having cancer, and then also Angelica shared during the press conference that her father-in-law died, and she was really close with him, and he died during her prep. So I think a lot of people were just dealing with a lot of obstacles this year. It was really tough, but I give everyone like credit for bringing amazing packages to the stage.
Yeah, and then I think Ricardo, Issa's coach, had mentioned that she was sick for this prep. Did she mention anything about that in the press conference?
No, again, her English is a little bit spotty, so it was a little bit hard. Yeah. But, she made some like general statements about it being difficult to like navigate, the pandemic and gyms and those kinds of things. So, but yes, I was hearing that too. Like she was not well for some of her prep, and that really affected, like her experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So for the, we're going to go, obviously there were 40 bikini people, bikini athletes that competed. And the way that it worked this year, if you didn't watch it, was that, so first of all, if you got first at any pro show, that qualified you, for the Olympia this year. So there were quite a few, as compared to last year where they just took the top, I believe 20, right? 20 in the point system.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
So.
And then this year it was just the top five in points and then anybody that won a pro show. So we had, you know, our leaderboard for the points was definitely Ashlyn Brown. She reminds me a lot of Janet, where she's always the bridesmaid as well. Like, she's a fierce competitor. She always brings it. She's very consistent. And, you know, she got second quite a bit this year. So so some of the people that, you know, qualified, you know, there are people from really all over the world. And something that I picked up on, I was surprised. For a lot of people, it was their first Olympia. And you could definitely tell that there were nerves. I saw a lot of people like stumble and things, just people that are usually pretty poised, that I think their nerves got the best of them. What were your thoughts on the prejudging?
Yeah, I noticed that a lot too with routines. Like, there were a couple times where I like gasped because I saw like a girl tripping over her shoes. Again, like, I look at it as like, so many girls, especially my clients, get super nervous, like, oh, I just don't want to trip on stage. Well, the Olympians trip on stage, so nobody's perfect. And like, just think about, I think it puts it into perspective, like getting up on stage and like, you want to do your homework, you want to practice, and you want to like really have control of your mental game. But I mean, I can't fault anybody for being nervous stepping on an Olympia stage. I'm pretty sure that I would be pretty, like, shaken up. But
I'm nervous anytime I'm on stage.
Yeah.
I was at my competition, well, now it's been over a week. But, yeah, I mean, I was trembling. I was so mad at myself, too, because I know, like, this is, like, my 30th show or something. And it's, like, every time I get nervous, I don't understand it. I keep trying to talk myself out of it, that I'm just excited. I'm excited. So yeah, that's definitely something I can relate to for sure. And then something that I love about what was kind of like the message that was sent this year. And we've talked about this, after the Tahoe show, that the bikini division has previously gotten a little bit out of control with the athleticism and the conditioning. And this year they're really trying to make a statement. I think because of the wellness category getting added, they're really trying to reel it back in and make it a more feminine look. And they couldn't have picked anyone better to display true femininity when it comes to Janet. She was the most conditioned she's ever been. I've never seen her abdomen look so good, and her glutes were very conditioned, but she, first of all, is the best poser hands down. I mean, she's so sultry. I don't know how she does it, that she's just so, so confident, and she flows. Like, the way that she moves and the way that she walks, it's the way that Miss Bikini Olympia should look, that confidence. And I like that she wasn't out of control muscular. If you look at her when she was runner up, I believe like in 2018, she was much more conditioned than then, in her abdomen and her glute ham tie-in. But it just, she still, even though she's been doing this for a long time, she has dense muscle, but it's still very feminine looking. It's still like a realistic look. So I was glad to see that.
Yeah, she definitely has like a very different look than I think we've seen last year. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine who trains in bikini, and she kept getting like so much feedback to build upper body, build more upper body. So when Janet won, she was like, oh, I feel like I can breathe a little bit, because I wasn't sure if I should be like the Hulk at this point. So she's putting on so much mass on my upper body. And so I do like that they are taking that into consideration. I feel like Sandy's always a big part of making sure that bikini stays feminine. And I do agree, Janet is like a model. She's gorgeous. So,
yeah. And so let's talk about, so last year the standard was set with Issa that now, okay, we have to have a lat flare. We have to be able to see the lat flare from the front pose. We have to do a lat flare in our back pose. And I'm also glad to see that going away, because she almost has an upper body of a figure competitor. And so it was getting too far out of the division. So I was glad to see that message sent as well. Like I said, I know she was sick, so I think she probably would have done a lot better if she had like more time dieting, or she just wasn't as sharp as she usually is, in my opinion. Yeah. And then another thing that I really noticed that was odd about her in that first call out is that her back strap, it almost looked like it was like not tightened all the way. But I think she did it on purpose. Like it kind of like accentuated her lat a little bit more. It made her look like she was wearing not a bikini suit, more of like a figure suit. So in my opinion, yeah. I would have done like a tie strap. If you're going to do the straight across connector, you really have to have the ones with the adjusters. Because that, I mean, every little detail counts, and especially at that high level, if you're going to be the best in the world, you really have to be like on top of what they want. And so I think that's what hurt a lot of the Europeans that were not getting in, like even third call outs. They were still, you know, doing a lat flare where, you know, that's phasing out now. As we know, it's ever evolving. So you really have to stay on top of the trends when it comes to bikini.
Yeah, it's very evident, especially with Issa, I think because her lat insertion's so high and it's so wide that her tie was like right along the bottom half of her lat. So it was like directing your eye like down, and it did make her top half look really full. So yeah, it's crazy how like a small thing like a suit tie can affect how your overall symmetry looks. I wanted to ask you too, Amy, what did you think about her hair color? Because last year she was much blonder.
Yeah. Well, did you notice everyone had curls? I wondered if you noticed that.
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much everyone had curls, right? And I love it that the top call outs, you know, a lot of people wear their natural hair. Like Attila and Jennifer Dory, they have beautiful hair. So I love that they wear it natural. I think more what kind of detracted from Issa's total package is I noticed, especially in the pre-judging, which sometimes the tan can process like throughout the day and get darker at night. But I noticed she was a shade lighter in her tan than everybody. And then it didn't help that her... literally the top five had some shade of dark blue or purple. And then she stood out, not in a great way, like with a lighter suit. I didn't feel like it did her any favors. And it's the same thing like with hair. I think you have to get all those contrasts correct. So I wonder if she got feedback on that. Another thing I noticed about her is that her legs were a lot larger than last year. And not only were they not conditioned, I had heard that she hadn't been training legs since the Arnold, which shocked me because to me they looked bigger, but that could have just been because she had a little bit more body fat due to the illness. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely noticed that, especially when she turned to the back, like her glutes in comparison to the rest of her legs were very different than what I had seen last year. I mean, a lot of these girls, the glutes are more predominant, and I felt like her, like in comparison, her thighs just kind of, they looked almost equal, if not maybe a little bit bigger in comparison to her glutes. And that's the one I did notice that as well too, with like just her proportions in her lower half.
Okay, well, let's just start with let's go through like 1 through 10 and just kind of tell everybody what the placings were. Obviously we know that Janet Laug was the winner, and she received a much larger check than previous bikini Miss Bikini Olympians before her. So she received $50,000. I'm just going to give you a little bit of her stats. So she's from Florida. She's a mom, I think, of a teenager now. She's 31 years old, and she's 5'8", so she's very, very tall. She usually ranges. Sorry, what was that?
Oh no, I was just affirming she was tall.
Oh, okay. And then she usually ranges between like 125 to 135 at 5'8", depending on the time of the year, I guess. And she's also a nurse. So I know that you, because I lent it to you. Her suit is made by CJ. She's always been sponsored by CJ, and she kind of just has stayed consistent with the same suit throughout her career. And I know that I lent you kind of the replica of that when you received your pro card. So
I was thinking that when I was watching this, I was like, I think Jenna has my suit.
Yes, or you had Janet's suit.
Probably that way around. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love that color.
Yeah, and then she trains with Kim Odo. So do you want to take our second place, our runner-up Miss Olympia?
Yeah, so second place went to Jennifer Dory. Her purse for the second place spot was $20,000. And she stepped on stage. She's 23 from Ontario, Canada. And her height is around 5'4", so she's a little bit smaller than Janet. And she's part of Team Atlas. Mm-hmm. So, oh, and her suit. So she was wearing a toxic suit, actually. Representing toxic bikinis.
Yeah, and she's a totally different look than Janet. And so I think that Jennifer Dory, Attila, I think Angelica, and even like Ashley Kay, those four are around the same height, around like a 5'4", 5'3". They're really athletic, very muscular. But I think what sets Jennifer Dory apart is she's not too much. She's very symmetrical. Her glutes, they're athletic looking, but they're not like too sharp. And same with her abs, like they're not too much. And what her coach said in an interview, I believe, they're really good friends. She works for him. So James was saying that the only thing really holding her back from being Miss Bikini Olympia is her confidence. So you can tell the difference. Yeah. Like Janet's a seasoned competitor. She's used to the stage. She's been doing this for a long time. So I think it's only going to be a matter of time for Jennifer to just get more comfortable on stage. Mm-hmm. But she's just such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I really liked seeing all the curly hair on stage this year. And she's stunning. She's definitely captivating.
Yes. Okay. And she also has a purple suit as well. yeah. And then Attila Santiago Santos. She is the same kind of hair. She's Brazilian. She won $12,000 with third place, and she's 5'6", so she's kind of middle of the road, and she weighs around 126, and she's actually the owner of Santiago Swimwear, which is like beachwear bikini, but I noticed that her bikini was so unique. The stoning on it, I was just enthralled by it. I'd never heard of this company, so I had to look it up. It's called, and I'm sure this is Portuguese, so I'm gonna butcher it, but Sol Bogado Bikini, maybe? Am I saying that correctly, do you think?
Probably.
I don't know. Anyway, hers was like tones of blue, but it kind of had some like baby blue mixed in there. It was just stunning. And
yeah.
Oh, this is one thing that I forgot to mention. So the only suit that was CJ on the stage was Janet's, and that was something I did notice, that I was a little bit surprised that her suit bottoms were so much bigger than everybody else's, because like a toxic, you know, Margaret always cuts them like a whale tail, so they're very like minimal coverage to make the glutes look nice and round. So I was a little bit surprised about that. And then also Attila, sorry, rabbit hole just went down. Then she's also trained by Ricardo, so she has the same coach as Issa, I'm assuming, because, you know, he's out of Brazil, and so is she. Anything to add on Attila?
Okay. No, I just really liked her. I think she's a beautiful smile, which really doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but I just think she's really pretty.
Okay. Well, I think she has a cool story about this year and her perseverance. Because she was living in Brazil, she wasn't able to travel to the United States to compete, to qualify for the Olympia. And she actually stayed with a friend for 2 weeks in Mexico. and quarantined so that she could come. Yeah. And after, you know, not having like much access to gym or like a routine and food and things like that, then she stepped on stage and won the show, which is pretty amazing. Like
that's incredible
dedication to do something like that just to get to the United States. Then why don't you take your favorite, your girl, Angelica?
Yeah.
Fourth place.
Fourth place went to Angelica Textera. She came home with $7,000 for her placement, and she's 35, 5'4", and she's from Brazil, but she currently lives in the U.S. I actually found out also that she recently moved. She used to live in, like, New York area, and she moved to Texas this year. So there's been a lot of change for her as well, too. And she's also coached by Kimoto.
Mm-hmm. And she had a very unique suit designer, Anastasia Suits. I think she's always gone with them, and they've always done purple for her. Hers has always looked really good. And I know that her husband works for the Coast Guard, so I think that's why he got called down to Texas, I believe, his job. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and we all know that she started out as a grocery bagger, not being able to speak English, and she placed dead last in like a ton of shows until she finally, like, after several years of not giving up on the sport because she just really loved it. I mean, if you could hear her tell her whole story about just like getting her pro card, what she had to go through is crazy because they didn't have these pro qualifiers and throughout the country when she was going for that. So I encourage you to try to listen to an interview about her past and her journey to the pro stage. It's really inspiring. So if you guys missed that, she is a master's competitor. So it's never too late.
Oh, yes.
So anyway, okay. Fifth place was Laura Lee Chapados, and she is the dark horse because she came out of nowhere when she won her pro card and was runner up to Angelica, her first season. No one knew who she was. You know, she had qualified for the Olympia for the first time and got second place. So this year she got fifth, and she won $6,000 as part of her purse. And she's very, very young competitor. She's 22. So I think she started her bodybuilding career at 17. I know that she was waitressing, trying to make ends meet. Even when she got the runner up, she was like literally working nonstop, waiting tables like the week of the Olympia. So she has a really cool story too. Now she lives, I think, in Los Angeles. She's no longer in Canada, but she is French Canadian. And she is just an inspiring woman. She's on Team Atlas now, and she was self-coached the first Olympia. And what else did I miss? French Canadian. Oh, and she's also sponsored by Toxic as well.
Yeah. She's so young. I feel like she has like so much ahead of her, especially when you're talking about like Janet's muscle density, like just being going at this for so long. I feel like Laura Lee's still fairly new, so, and she has a great like starting point, so yeah, I think we'll definitely see more of her.
Yeah, she's just a baby in the bikini world.
She'll
gain that muscle maturity as she continues to progress. And then we've talked about Issa being in that first call out, so she got sixth. I think we've mentioned a lot about her. Did you have anything to add on her?
No. I think we covered a lot with her.
Okay. And then Ashley Kaltwasser, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, Ashley K. She got seventh. She was rocking a red bikini. Ashlyn Brown got eighth. She was in a like teal, and she was having the super blonde hair. I've interviewed her on the podcast, so I'm sure you guys are familiar with her and her story. Did you want to go over 9th and 10th then?
Yeah, sure. So we have Jasmine Gonzalez that got 9th. And actually, I don't know much about her. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, Jazzy, she's like everyone's posing coach. She's a pro. She poses the pros. So she is,
yeah,
actually, this was her best physique I've ever seen her bring. She also had a red bikini. She wore her hair naturally. I think this is the best her physique has looked. And it's the most confident I've seen her on stage. So she's right up there with Janet now with the confidence and kind of the uniqueness about her posing. She has some very, very sultry posing as well. So I was really impressed with that. At past shows, she never really like drew my eye, but this time around, like she really stood out in the crowd.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen her compete before, but I do remember her stepping on stage at the Olympia and being like, who is that? Mm-hmm. Because she was very captivating, and like just how her hair and her makeup, like she did have, I felt like she put the whole package together really well. Mm-hmm. And definitely how you present, it definitely calls attention. So yeah, definitely I would agree with that. And then 10th place went to Brina Martinez, who I absolutely adore. I think she is one of the sweetest people. I met her for the first time at the last show that I did, the Tahoe Pro. And backstage, I remember at finals, she was cheering for every single girl that got up on that stage in her lineup. And I just thought that that was such a unique quality and something I had never experienced at the pro level. And I was hearing the announcers talking about at the Olympia that she was doing the same thing at the show, like cheering for the other girls as they're about to go on stage. So I just love her attitude. I also really liked how sleek her look was. She typically rocks that yellow bikini, and I think she pulls it off really well. And I just loved how her hair just like laid on her back in her back pose, like nice and straight. It was a little bit different variant than what I saw at Tahoe, but I thought she really brought like top level to the Olympia stage.
Yeah, she at the Tahoe show, she wore braids that kind of had like a highlight in them. And then she bundled the braids kind of like a ponytail, like a half ponytail in a way. So I actually, I liked just like the sleeker hair as well.
Yeah.
I thought that looked good on her. So
yeah, it was very elegant.
Yeah. Well, that about wraps it up. We are at that 30-minute mark, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave us a review or a rating. We would so appreciate it. This is an unfunded podcast, and we do this just because we want to share, you know, the sport with others and talk about our fails and things like that. If there's something that we can say that could help you, please feel free to DM us on Instagram. We are found at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And we would love, love, love it if you sent some suggestions our way. Be sure to just subscribe on iTunes so that you get notifications when the next episode is out. I know we typically do these on Tuesdays, but we might be releasing on another day next week. And that podcast will be focused on the new year and setting goals for 2021. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.